Hi, everybody. I'm Michelle Martin at National Public Radio. Welcome to NPR Rough Cuts. We're working on a new daily interview and talk show, and we'd like you to help us make it happen. Here's what we're trying to do with the show. We want to avoid the predictable. We plan to showcase diverse new voices. We want to take you to parts of the world that we don't get to hear about very often. We invite you to listen to our weekly offerings and ask that you tell us what you think. To read our weekly blogs and to post your feedback, please log on to npr.org/roughcuts. Now, on with the program. An African proverb says it takes a village to raise a child, or maybe you just need a few Moka moms. This is an organization of primarily African-American women who consider themselves stay-at-home moms. But the group is open to those of all backgrounds, as well as moms who work outside the home. And we think their common sense and savvy parenting advice will be helpful to everyone, working mom, part-time mom, would-be mom, or dad. Today's topics, making Christmas your own. How do you include Christmas traditions when those traditions don't include you? And to Kwanzaa or not to Kwanzaa, do you really observe this Made in America African-inspired holiday? Or do you just buy the candles? And joining us to talk about all this are Jolene Ivy, one of the founders of Moka Moms, a mother of five, Shelley English Figaro, president of Moka Moms and a mother of three, and Aisha Ortiz, a mother of two, who received an early Christmas present last week when her husband returned from a tour of duty in Iraq. Welcome all the moms. And first, congratulations are in order to Jolene Ivy, who has been elected to the state legislature in Maryland, proving once again that that stay-at-home mom definition really is a rather elastic one. Congratulations, Jolene.
Thank you very much. All my kids are in school now, so I think that I should be somewhat freed up.
I think we all agree. And let me start the conversation by saying that this whole question of how to celebrate Christmas didn't really become so important to me until I became a parent and started having to decide what, you know, I was going to do about Christmas, what we were going to do about Christmas. So let me start with Jolene. Do you ever feel a conflict between your heritage and the way Christmas is celebrated in this country?
Well, I don't exactly feel a conflict. I do see a way that I need to incorporate other things into Christmas and make a few adjustments. For example, our tree. All of the angels on our tree are black. We have black angels all over the tree. We have a black Santa on our tree. I couldn't put white ornaments all over my tree when my family is black. And I don't, it's not really to make a statement. It's just to make it more realistic for my family. And when people come in the house and they see the tree, they're usually, you know, taken by it, especially if they're white and they never thought of it. But I think that's one way that you can make it your own without it being really a conflict.
Shelley, what about you? Do you ever feel a conflict between heritage and tradition?
Not really. I don't feel that way at all. I think that it's important for children to understand where they come from and have a good feeling about themselves. So we also do black Santas. I never thought once that I'd take my child, my black child, to see a white Santa. That didn't sit right with me. You know, and you know what I'm saying, in terms of having my little black child going to a jolly old white man and asking for something.
Why?
Presumably that his black mom or black dad or black grandparents couldn't provide. I couldn't do that.
So the idea of having a white father figure delivering presents to your kids.
Absolutely not.
Is a problem.
I mean, that would be a problem for me. Mm-hmm. I don't want some benevolent white man. I don't want my children to think some benevolent white man can provide for them something that their parents can't provide. So, you know, when my child was young, when my oldest was young, he's 13 now, I told him that, you know, our Santa is black. And he said, well, how is that? I thought there was one Santa. I said, well, when Santa comes to our house, he turns black. When Santa goes to the neighbor's house, he's Hispanic. When Santa goes to the other neighbor's house, he is white. See, so Santa is a magical creature. He just changes with the house. So that's what I told my son. Of course, that got old.
Okay. Aisha, what about you? Your husband's from Puerto Rico.
Yes.
And tell me, what about you? I know that, for example, in a number of countries, I mean, Puerto Rico obviously being, you know, part of the United States, but in parts of Latin America and Central America in particular, there really is no Santa. It's all about the three kings. And that's the emphasis there, so that the issue of Santa doesn't really come up. So how do you handle this in your house?
Yes, we don't do Santa at all. I feel like it's a large distraction for my children. My husband was raised Catholic, but, you know, we're just basic Christians, and I just think it's enough trying to learn about Jesus than to distract them with Santa. And, I'm a little extreme, but normally I just feel that my children need to appreciate the gifts that are given. And we're actually taking it a step further next year, and we're not even going to do a tree. Only because, again, it's a distraction. Instead, we're going to take our energy and focus on helping other people. We're going to save our money all year, including my children. They'll save their coins, and we'll cash them in, and we'll go buy presents and meet the needs of a family that doesn't have a home. And that's our focus.
So you feel that the Santa figure adds a layer that distracts from the religious focus of
Christmas? I do. I really do. And I also think, you know, it's a lie. I mean, you need to know that your father and your mother,
okay,
for that matter.
Okay, if there are any kids listening, cover your ears. Parents, if you have any kids in the car, cover your ears right now.
Yes, please proceed. Especially my kids.
Turn the volume down for the next 30 seconds.
We do not. Yeah, I just do not believe in that whole Santa thing. I teach my children the value of money. I teach them appreciation. They're only 3 and 2, but they do understand. You know, if you're naughty to me, you're not going to get anything. Period. You know, when it's your birthday, we celebrate it. It's Jesus's birthday. And our theory is very simple. When you go to one of your friend's birthday parties, you come back with a little bag, a little gift to say thank you for being at our party. Well, that's all you're getting on Christmas, because we're not celebrating your birthday. We're celebrating someone else's. All you're going to get is one little gift.
Some folks, in fact, we do this, limit the presents to 3, because Jesus had 3 gifts from the 3 kings. The 3 kings brought 3 gifts. So everybody gets 3 gifts. Very briefly, because I want to get to our Kwanzaa topic too. Aisha referred to this. She said that the parents, your husband's parents and your parents, very traditional Christmas folks. What about you, those of you who embrace more Afrocentric figures in your practice of Christmas? Do you have any conflict with your parents or with neighbors or other important figures in your life about this? You know, I had this happen to a family member. Family member sent a child of the family a white Barbie. Mm-hmm. And yes. The parents were not pleased.
Oh, I love to go to birthday parties and bring the black Barbie to the white child. I love to do that. It's my favorite gift to give to a little girl, because nobody else is going to give it to her, and I want that family to realize how it feels. And it's not necessarily a negative thing. I don't do it to be mean or anything. It's just to open their eyes. And it's fun. Usually the mother is somebody I get along with and who thinks it's great. The grandmother might not be so enthusiastic, is what I've noticed.
Is there a two-way street aspect of this, though?
Nobody's going to give any dolls to my kids. Okay. And I'm not as hard-line about it. I mean, we've had white figures in our house. We've got, you know, every kind of culture in the house. I think it's predominantly going to be black. But I don't want to say we can't have something in the house because it's white or because it's Hispanic or because it's Asian.
What about you, Aisha?
Exactly.
Where are you on this?
I'm not that hardline about it. It's okay. You know, I can show my daughter, for example, we have it in our family, you know, a child or a doll that looks very white. But I can explain to her, well, we have a cousin that looks just like that, and she's not white. She's not 100% white. She has blonde hair and blue eyes, but when she marks her, you know, paperwork, it says mixed or black. So it's okay. You know, the Disney princesses, that's a big one. And I actually have a problem with them only because they don't have not a single African background doll, not one image. And so to my daughter, what I did was we actually broke down these stories. And and once I read them all, I said, you know, a lot of these young women are very sad. You know, they have to wait on a man to rescue them. You know, they're just pretty pathetic. But let me show you this book. And so we read Princess Brianna. Mm-hmm. And that one, you know, is about this beautiful African princess. And it's okay because she was surrounded by other equally beautiful princesses from other parts of the country. And they were just, you know, in the book, they talk about how her intelligence was important, as well as her beauty. And it's important what you think about from the inside. So, you know, I just try to make up with it like that. But no, she can have a white baby and she can have a black one. The thing that I watch is that you don't think that the black one is bad. And, you know, we talk about it. You know, why is this one, you call this one a ballerina, but you call this one a princess and they're dressed the same. Why? Let's talk about that.
We broke down and had to get some Disney stuff too, because the girls love Disney. So mm-hmm. We do have white dolls because Disney princesses are white.
You know what's interesting to me is that when they sell the costumes in the catalogs, the Disney costumes, they often use African-American models,
but
the cartoons and the emblems are none of them are.
Absolutely.
So I can tell you, I had a mom in my neighborhood who also has twins, who took a picture of her daughter,
one
of those little digital cameras, and cut her daughter's face out and pastes it over the emblem on the tiara and so forth.
I've done that on even the little phones. I do that.
And you know what? But what I do...
Just briefly, ladies, for those who may be listening to this conversation who don't understand why this is important, what would you tell them to help them understand why this matters so much to you?
When you're growing up in a culture and you're the minority, and the world is telling you you're not as good because of what you look like, and you've got no control over what you look like. You could be light, dark. You had nothing to do with that. So when the world is telling you that you are not as good as because of you, of your complexion, your hair, or your behind, your thighs, whatever it is, the parents of those children have to somehow exert a force against the force that's coming in from outside. The world is going to beat my children down. I've got to prop them up. That's my job as a parent. I have to surround my child with positive images that look like her.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for breaking it down. let's move on to Kwanzaa. Do any of you actually observe Kwanzaa? Tell the truth.
No.
Nope.
No.
My son is in a Kwanzaa program every year. And also, I have a good girlfriend who celebrates Kwanzaa every year, and we go to her house the Saturday after Christmas every year.
Well, tell me what you like about it. What's important about that to you?
I don't know that we necessarily celebrate it in the traditional way. We do have African food, and some people do dress in the African garb, and we do talk about the principles. But for me, what's important about Kwanzaa is that it's a moment to reflect on the people who have died and sacrificed so that you can go to a restaurant and eat. So you could vote. So we remember the people who lost their lives so that we could be where we are today. And that's one piece. The other piece, of course, is children need character. It's character building. So the seven principles of Kwanzaa are really important in terms of the character that we want to instill our children with.
And I'll just briefly describe them in English and not in the Swahili, but unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith. And those are the seven principles. They're supposed to be celebrated one focus on each day of Kwanzaa. Are any of you anti-Kwanzaa? Like, absolutely not.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm anti-Kwanzaa. I mean, I certainly don't have a problem with other people celebrating Kwanzaa. But for a while, every year, my husband would say to me ahead of time, are we going to celebrate Kwanzaa this year? And I'd be like, baby, I just can't make it through Christmas, you know? And then we got this theory that's, you know, quite disrespectful, but we just mean to be funny, that black people just came up with Kwanzaa because we're late for everything. So we can't be on time and ready for Christmas. Whatever it was you didn't get done for Christmas, you got seven more days to do it.
The spin I would put on that is that you could get those after Christmas sales. See, that's what I would try to put
now,
the positive.
It's not supposed to be materialistic, but in any event, I'm just exhausted after Christmas. And, you know, the principles certainly are important. I give a lot of kudos for people who have the energy to carry through seven more days of celebration. And I'm happy to go to somebody else's party.
Aisha, what about you?
Yes, basically, I have to kind of second Jolene on that. I have enough problems trying to remember my principles for Christianity. I can't quite add to these yet. I think it's wonderful. I love the sense of community. I love, like Shelley was saying, you know, about the principles and instilling them in our children. That's all wonderful. But again, I'm having a tough enough time trying to remember the seven spiritual principles for Christian living.
Well, that raises an important point. Some people feel that it kind of distracts from Christmas, as you were saying, that you think Santa is a distraction for those who are observant. You don't need any additional principles other than those that have been taught by your faith, thing one. And thing two, some would argue that it's anti-Christian in the sense that it's exclusive rather than inclusive. And for there to be this ethnic focus on a religion right around Christmas is a kind of a way of closing the doors rather than opening them. And the message of Christmas is that we, you know, this is open to all. And what are your thoughts about
that? That's how I feel about the white Santa and all the white imagery. I feel that's very exclusive of anybody who's not of a European background. So actually the fact that Kwanzaa is after and not during the season, I mean, you've celebrated, you've said happy birthday to Jesus, you've moved on, and now you're doing this. To me, this isn't as disrespectful as, say, Saint Nick.
Thank you for that. And happy holidays to all the moms. Ortiz, Shelley English Figaro, one of the co-founders of Mocha Moms, and Jolene Ivey, one of the co-founders of Mocha Moms, and delegate-elect to the Maryland State Legislature. Congratulations again, Jolene
Thanks,
Ivey.
Thanks, and happy Kwanzaa. Happy and Merry Christmas.
And happy Hanukkah.
All that right. stuff.
Feast of the Three Kings. Thanks for listening. We like the Mocha Moms' common sense, chemistry, and energy, and we hope you do, too. Did this conversation offer a different and interesting perspective on celebrating the holidays? What about the topic? I'm also curious to know, if this were a call-in show, is this the type of segment that would move you to call in or write in? Let us know. Visit the NPR Rough Cuts page on the web at npr.org/roughcuts. This is Michelle Martin. I'll talk to you next week.